Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Danielle Behan is senior brand manager at Purina, clearly too young to be a senior anything. But we'll talk to you anyway, Danielle. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you. It is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, the month of October is, and Purina has long said, we care about this issue. So you've got a pet food company caring about domestic violence. What brings you both together?
Sure. Good question. So a number of years ago, we actually realized the role, the unfortunate role that pets play in the lives of domestic violence victims. And that really launched us, based off our belief that pets and people are better together, into this area.
Well, most people have a pet, statistically, in America. And in fact, when it comes to domestic violence, oftentimes the abuser begins by, quote unquote, practicing on that pet. So the pet has been a victim of abuse in the first place. I suspect that's one reason why Purina cares, but another is that pets are members of the family. And we now know that without a place to go with the pet, that people are not leaving the abusive situation that they're in. Can you talk about all of that?
Sure. So yes, there's really two things at play here. One, you alluded to, unfortunately, pets are used in situations of domestic violence. We know that more than 70% of pets are actually reported to be harmed or killed in situations of domestic violence. And then secondarily, probably not surprising, you know, victims will not leave their pet behind in fear of what will happen to them. And so more than 50% of victims stay in their abusive situations in fear of what would happen to their pet. And right now, only 10% of shelters accept pets.
Yeah, and, so, and that's really the crux of an issue. I mean, I live in a community, a very large community. It's Chicago. And mm-hmm. and we don't have solutions except, happily, a couple of the animal shelters say, all right, we will take in those animals, try to find a foster home temporarily. But that's not the same. That's good, but it's not the same as keeping the entire family together, which I would presume would be the goal. So you have somewhere to go with your children and your children with four legs as well.
Yes, we our vision here is that no one is trapped in abuse because they can't take their whole family with them, and that includes their pet.
Yeah, and more communities are looking to solutions for this, and Purina happens to be helping with that.
Yes. So we, earlier this year, we launched the Purple Leash Project, which is a initiative together with our partner Red Rover, and that is the goal of it is to increase the number of pet-friendly domestic violence shelters across the nation.
And when that happens, when the family is allowed, quote-unquote allowed, because there's somewhere to go, and then is able to flee with the pet, lots happens as a result of that, I believe. One thing is that usually there are kids, I mean, two-legged kids involved in all of that. And by keeping the family together, they also have sort of a therapist of sorts with them in that dog or cat. Aside from the fact that you may be saving the pet's life, literally, by allowing the pet to flee as well.
Exactly. So we know from our research that pets are tremendous in healing, especially in times of crisis. And so having the pet with that family not only helps the family heal, but also we've heard from other shelters that it helps the entire shelter heal having pets there. So pets play a tremendous role on both sides.
Yeah, and it's a way to keep everyone safe as well, obviously, which is, I suspect, the most important thing is to encourage that person. It's a tough thing anyway, I'm told, and experts have told me that, you know, we may not understand if we've never been in that situation, but it's really tough to leave, even if you have the perfect place to go. And then what we're talking about is that oftentimes there is no perfect place to go, and that perfect place would allow the animal as well. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I mean, I know when I first heard these statistics that, you know, almost 50% of people won't leave their situation in fear of what will happen to their pet, I thought, gosh, I've never thought about that. And then I looked at my own pet, and I thought, well, of course, I would never leave my own pet behind. They're not optional. They are part of the family. And so I think once you really think about the stats and the lack of solutions right now out there, it's easy to empathize with, yes, we need to change this landscape so that pets and people can lead together in safety.
October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and there is something that all of you friends can do about that, I believe. Daniel?
Yes. So Purple Leash Project is our initiative, and there's a couple things. One is we're encouraging consumers to go out and snap a picture walking their dog or their cat and put that out on social media and tag Purple Leash Project to help spread awareness of this issue that really most know nothing about. And then also encourage consumers to go to purpleleashproject.com to learn more ways that they can get involved and understand really more about the issue at hand.
Excellent. Purpleleashproject.com. Danielle, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I think a very important initiative, so thank you very much, Danielle. Regarding Domestic Violence Awareness Month, which this is, it turns out that Congressman Dan Lipinski co-sponsored a bill to reauthorize the Violence Against Women Act, and also he's a co-sponsor of the Pet and Women's Safety, or PAWS Act, which allows for just what we're talking about. It allows some number, a few million dollars, which is a start, but that's just a drop in the bucket, to encourage facilities to allow pets, and not just people, but people with their pets, somewhere to go, somewhere to escape that domestic violence situation with their pet. But what we're going to talk to Congressman Dan Lipinski about next is an act that, well, just passed this week, called the PACT Act. It has to do with violence also, but violence to animals and animal abuse. Now, animal abuse, of course, is already a felony, but there were some loopholes in this felony, and people were getting away with murder. If you call doing the worst to pets that, and I do. So that's been fixed, and we will be talking in just one moment to Congressman Dan Lipinski. As always, we want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. You can call. You can text. Good morning. Steve Dale on WGN. Scooby-dooby-doo. It's 12 minutes before 7 on WGN. Good morning. We're talking about some serious topics this morning. We talked a bit about domestic violence and domestic abuse in the Purple Leash Project with Daniel Behan of Purina. And I know, in fact, Representative Congressman Dan Lipinski, very much involved in that, helping to create the Pet and Women's Safety, or PAWS Act. So congratulations for that, Representative or Congressman. I don't know, which way do I say it, sir?
You can call me either, or you can call me Dan.
Okay. Well, this is my first time talking to you, so I thank you very much. I'm aware of what you've done for animal welfare over the years, and that is what I'm thanking you for. And in fact, very recently, just this past week, the PACT Act was passed. You know, sometimes in laws, so the good news is it's animal abuse is a felony in all 50 states. That's the way it should be. But states vary. And when you do things from state to state to state, sometimes there are loopholes or question marks. And that was the case here. This included videos and other things that those who created the original bills could not have also foreseen. And you've closed those loopholes, correct?
Yes, this past week we passed the PACT Act. It makes it a federal crime most heinous acts of abuse of animals. Although, as you said, all states have laws on this, but they vary, and this has generally been left to a state by state basis. But I thought it was important that we pass a federal law. And you also mentioned, unfortunately, what we see go online right now. It's just sickening to think about, but we know what some people post up there and cruelty to animals, and that makes that also a a federal offense. So I think this is a really good step forward in hopefully do more to prevent this kind of violence to animals.
Well, you know, I was on the board of the American Humane Association with a gentleman by the name of Phil Arkow. He wasn't on the board, but he is a researcher who is the one who first said, you know what, there really is a link here between animal abuse and violence to people. And now that's commonly known. The term in law enforcement actually is called, quite simply, the link. We also know that people who watch and certainly people who participate in these events, we know that one of two things or two things. We know this. We know they are then likely to participate in similar events to people and will become, in one way or another, either abusive to people or participate in violent crimes. And we also know that people who do these things are often wanted for other crimes anyway. I remember when I would go out with the Chicago Police Department many years ago, and they went after dogfighters, and I would do what they call ride-alongs. And they explained to me, and I saw they were, unfortunately, the court system then, I hope things have changed. We're not serious about dogfighting, but they were serious about the other crimes that these people were likely involved in anyway and wanted for. So they were able to break up a dogfighting ring, which is good. And from their perspective, also good, we caught some bad guys. Is what I'm saying at all right? Does that resonate with you?
It certainly does. And I think it's good that it is now much more recognized. We have evidence that it's the case that those people who, you know, have no respect whatsoever and are prone to violence against animals have the same sorts of attitudes towards to other humans. So I think it's important that this new law really shows that we are taking this very seriously. That this is a federal offense, and I just think that this is more progress in the protection of animals in general.
You know, it occurs to me this might be the first media interview you've done in a very long time where the word impeachment is not going to come up in the interview.
Now you just raised it now, though.
No! I don't even want to talk about that. That's the next show after mine. I really don't. And in fact, I'm getting text. 312-981-7200, as always. And the texts say things like, about time, congratulations, this is great. Do you think that there is a growing awareness of the kind of topics we're talking about, the link between animal abuse and violence to animals and violence to people, and moreover, just that overall, that is not the tone in Washington, perhaps, but overall, we are moving toward a more humane environment in America.
I'm hopeful that we're moving to a more humane environment in America, although, some days it's hard to believe that. But I think this it does point out a change in attitude, a change in understanding. And if I could just briefly get off the direct topic and, something good going on in Washington.
Uh-oh.
This came to the floor of the House because there's a new rule that was put in place. I'm part of the House Problem Solvers Caucus, which is a bipartisan group in the House that tries to work together to get things done. And we were able to change the rules of the House to say if any bill gets 290 co-sponsors, that bill is guaranteed a vote on the House floor.
Hmm.
And this the PACT Act got over 290 co-sponsors, and that automatically meant that we were able to get a vote. So we got this done. I think the fact that you can get, I think we had over 300 co-sponsors, we can get that many members of Congress on board together on this shows that this issue is something that people much better understand. And it also, it shows that the efforts of the public to contact their representatives,
yep,
and let them know about this and, make you know, members of Congress aware of this. I think that also shows that the people can have an impact, can have an influence on what goes on in Washington, and this is obviously not a partisan issue.
I agree. I'm jumping.
We did.
I'm jumping in here only because we're tight on time here at this point. But I can't thank you enough. I hope to at some point soon have you in studio. Thank you very much, Congressman Lipinski.